If you're Buffalo and you've gotten so close taking over the AFC, but you can't beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, can't do it when it matters. So you've gotten that close. Why not go all in to try to do it? I don't know that a pick at 28 overall is going to be the difference for them. I think now's the time. You know that you're going to be picking late in the first round every year because you have Josh Allen. You have a good coaching staff that's always going to put a good defense out there. How valuable is next year's pick number 28 or 29 overall? If you could take this year's first, next year's first, and get a Rome Odunze in the top 10 potentially. I think Buffalo is one of the few teams, really, where you can make that argument.
Matt Miller. That is Matt Miller on the Dan Patrick Show. He's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. I heard Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog talking yesterday, and Mike made the opposite point that this is a year where you've made a lot of changes. You should not trade up. You should stock the cupboard with as many players as possible. Bring in 10 guys out of this draft, 12, 13, and just kind of, you know, fill things in. It's a good year to do that, which, you know, that's a point to make. It's a year for that.
I just don't think they've lost that much.
I also don't think they lost that much.
From last year, I think they lost a center.
They lost a center. They lost a couple of safeties. And maybe one safety. We'll see about Micah Hyde.
I'm going to clarify. They've lost receivers.
Yes.
They've lost their receivers. But outside of receivers.
Four of them. They lost four receivers.
Four receivers.
Two of them weren't, you know, major players.
But they had two average safeties walk out the door, and there is more emotion tied to those safeties, but Hyde and Poyer were not great players anymore. Tre'Davious White was not. They already replaced Tre'Davious White mid-season. He was not on the field for them. And Saran Neal is a special teams player. Just I don't feel like they actually have as much to fill as we think because of all the names that were said goodbye to. I could use another really good edge rusher at the top of the roster, and they need a backup running back and a fifth safety that Sal's pointed out. Like, I don't really think they need that much.
Past that, what they really need is they need to hit on some Milanos or some, I'm trying to think here, like, who's a good answer for this? I mean, if Chop Robinson is their first round pick, they need some guys to make a difference. Because on defense, what do they lose? They've lost some difference makers. Vaughn is a name here. They're hoping he can be a difference maker. But Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, you might not think they were at their peak last year, but they spent 7 years here being difference makers, and they've got to replace that. It's like Hyde and Poyer, I almost want to make a comparison to Diggs, where you might think, well, they were winning just fine without Diggs being massively productive for those last 8 games. Right, I don't think that's a long-term plan, though. The same way that the defense was still reasonably good with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer maybe not being the top versions of themselves, but you wouldn't want to live that way full-time. So whether that's a safety, Javon Bullard out of Georgia in the second round, that might be a good idea. If they go receiver and they keep their second round pick, I think safety is very possibly right at the top of the list of things they could do in the second round.
Yeah. I don't mind them trying to replace that level of safety. Doesn't the league kind of say, though, you don't really need it? Isn't safety one of those positions where you're fine if you're just pretty good? Like, it's one of those non-premium, it's not quite running back, but it's not thought of as, like, one of the premium positions in the league.
Maybe not in the league. I think it might be for the Bills. How has Sean McDermott built his defense? With really smart, interchangeable safeties that can disguise coverages and rotating defensive lines.
Yeah.
Isn't that the 1-2?
He has. I guess, like, I don't know how far I want to go with it because they were great, and they were great for a long time. But have they had, I mean, Hyde missed all of the season 2 years ago, and Poyer missed some games during that year also, and Damar Hamlin played a ton, and so did Jaquan Johnson. And then last year, Hyde and Poyer were on the field, but clearly were not playing at the level that they used to. And in the last 2 years, do we feel like they were good enough on defense? Because I feel like they were.
Yeah.
Last year they had injuries.
When they were healthy.
But if they had been healthy, do we feel like they would have been good enough on defense? Because I do.
Depends what good enough is. By my standard, yes. By McDermott's, maybe not. Maybe he wants a little bit more in that department.
We'll see. Like this year, they could do whatever they want in the draft. I don't expect them to have a Poyer or Hyde-level safety. Like, we're going to see it tested again. Because they did the thing that a lot of other teams do, which is safety's replaceable. You can get starting caliber players for cheap, and you don't have to invest a ton. So what did the Bills do? They did that. They signed Taylor Rapp to like the 40th highest paid contract in the league at safety, and then they signed a one-year deal to a veteran guy in a Mike Edwards, and that's all they've got at the moment. And we'll see how that goes, because they could draft the guy in the second round, and maybe that guy's great, but past that, like they're not getting better at safety, I think, between now and September. So it'll be another test, I think, of are you okay with just mid-level safety play? Because other teams are able to accomplish that. So, I mean, that adds to the list for me. Like, I don't really think they're that desperate on the offensive line anywhere. That guard is replaceable, and that's what they did with David Edwards after kicking McGovern to center. I don't think they need cornerback as much as that's been mocked to them in this spring. Defensive end is the thing. You can convince me they really do need another high-level pass rusher. But other than that, it is all wide receiver. That is a premium position that you are barren on the outside at right now.
803-0550. I'm at profootballfocus.com. One exercise I want to do later is let's make it how can we mock one of the receivers falling out of the top 10? Can we get there? Because the story you had about J.J. McCarthy being told the Giants.
Yes. He thinks he's going to the Giants.
That helps. If McCarthy goes in the top 10, that helps. I've got the Chargers who are reportedly going for tackle instead. That pushes him down. We'll get through that, but let's get some more phone calls in. Good morning. Happy draft day, Jeremy and Joe. Tom in Hamburg is up next. Good morning, Tom.
Uh-oh,
Tom. Hang on. Put you on hold and go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. We're good.
I liked your analogy you said about you have a school project, but you still have something to do.
My
analogy would be the night before Christmas as a kid, and you know you asked for a bunch of stuff, and it's what are you going to get?
That's right. Yes, that's good.
The two things I bring to you guys today is, so a couple days ago on my Twitter, I had said if the Bills stay at 28, I wanted Worthy, and I wanted them to trade the 25 first for Ayuk. But after seeing Amon-Ra get that deal yesterday, I'm kind of hesitant. And I just feel like, although we did lose some guys, and I think it was more of names than production we lost in terms of, like, you obviously lost Stephon Diggs and you lost some crucial key parts that were here for a long time. But we basically ripped the Band-Aid off, and we have a lot of money to spend going forward, obviously with a big Diggs cap hit this year, not so much, but I think the Bills are set up nicely in a more comfortable state over the next several years. So I would love to get a rookie out of controlled contract. And that's why, personally, I would love the Bills to go up and get Ondunze. I think that would be most ecstatic for Bills Mafia. But at the same time, at what cost? I want it to happen. So whatever they do trade, I'll be more happy that we got him compared to more upset of what we gave up. The second thing I have is, if we don't go up for the big three, why does it seem, I don't want to say why does it seem, because everyone overanalyzes, not everyone, but I'm saying like people in the draft analysis process, it seems like everything gets overanalyzed. And it seems like anyone outside of the top three has a big red flag, not a big red flag, but negative aspects to them.
Yeah.
Adonai Mitchell takes plays off the diabetes. Brian Thomas, no one can get a read on him. Worthy, 165 pounds. Troy Franklin, 175 pounds. Not a great route runner. McConkey and Leggett. How much college productivity in one year, their senior year. So, and Keon Coleman, the big red flag that a lot of people had after he ran in the 4.6s at the combine. Like, it's just something where, I don't know, I want to go to bed happy tonight. And I think that, to me, that means getting Ondunze. Or if you're going to stay at 28, probably go Worthy or Thomas. But I just don't want to go to bed and I'm like, oh, I really hope this guy could pan out. You know,
yeah.
I don't want him to have 35 catches in year one. And I'm also not saying he needs to replace the Diggs 160 targets, which I think we all can agree will not happen. But it would be nice to get a guy with 65, 70 catches, 850 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So I'm going to hang up and just hear what you guys have to say. But go Bills. Hopefully we get the guy we want tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, as you lay that all out about salary cap and the idea of Ayuk and the money there based on what Amon-Ra St. Brown got, that probably it suppresses Ayuk's value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to give you a pick, and I got to give him $33 million a year. Listen, I would give that guy $33 million a year and not blink. I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Bills or a team with a stud quarterback that's getting paid big money, this is the thing where receiver is really closing in on quarterback for the position that is worth trading up for. Yeah. I saw another number on this. I'll have to find the tweet. Another example of how it is closing in. And just like you and I talked about the other day, how the draft has changed so much, you would never see two safeties, two linebackers, and two running backs in the top 10. 5 years from now, will it be totally normal to trade up for a receiver because they make $40 million, $45 million? Like, well, of course you're going to trade up for a top-tier receiver. The value you get out of that is incredible.
Right.
So, you know, thinking about how it could go and rookie receivers and what they could do, you know, you're saying you'd sell for 65 catches. I mean, Rashee Rice had 79. Jordan Addison had 80. Puka Nacua had 105, which is, you know, he had an incredible year.
Right.
But year in, year out, rookie receivers do just fine. Garrett Wilson, 1,000 yards, 1,100. Chris Olave, 1,000 yards as a rookie. Drake London, 866 in an offense that didn't even really have a good quarterback. So,
yep.
In a Josh Allen offense, Ja'Marr Chase, 1,455 as a rookie.
Right. And there are...
Jaylen Waddle set the NFL record for rookie receptions and had 1,000 yards.
Right.
I don't think I have to worry about a guy coming in and not being ready in this offense if he's a complete receiver.
Yeah. And there are examples of other guys going that big, too, that weren't top 10 picks, right? Like Puka Nacua last year, sure, went for 1,500. But
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just signed that extension,
sure,
912 in his rookie year. Devonta Smith just got an extension, 916, right, on 64 catches in his rookie year.
But I want to be playing the percentages. Like, I've got a chart in front of me right now that has, like, the hit rate on certain positions by where you draft them. And I could go down to the fourth and fifth round and take a bunch of swings, but guess what? The hit rate on those players is like 9%. So it happens, but for every Puka Nacua, there are 18 wide receivers you have never heard of that have never... Montrell Washington is a guy that I think went ahead of Puka Nacua. Anyone know who he is from last year? No, because we don't ever remember the guys in those fifth, fourth rounds that never play. Versus, I'm getting like an 80% hit rate in the top 10,
yeah,
of the first round. Like, I want to be playing the percentages. And I think it gets said too much that teams don't know how to draft. If anything, you're telling me the league figures out to an 80% clip who the best players are every single year? That in the first round they figure out to a 60% clip who the best players are, and then in the second round it goes down to 45, and then the third round it goes down to... Like, to me, as that goes down and down, sure, they're not perfect at it, but people do the research, people do their scouting, and I think teams are better than we think at identifying who's most likely,
yep,
to be the best players. And I want to take the best shot I've got at the second most important position on a roster.
I agree with that, and none of that factors in situation. If Puka Nacua gets drafted to the Falcons, what happens? He is not a, yep, rookie record setter. It's a situation. It's where he goes. His talent plus situation, right? Talent plus opportunity. And I just hope whoever the Bills take today is going to get an opportunity. If it's an offensive player, if it's a receiver, they're jumping into an offense that has a really good talent at tight end, a pretty good talent at running back, decent receivers, and a stud throwing the football. So the Bills have to identify who's that best player to throw him, you know, to throw to. More of the best two or three. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Rookie receivers. Thinking about those in context. Take more of your calls, texts, tweets, all of it. How are you getting through the day? We'll pass along the rumors as we go. Sal, 7 o'clock. He has mocked the Bills. Xavier Worthy, who we can talk about throughout the morning.
Peter Schreger just dropped his final mock draft.
Okay, that's a big one.
Not going to love it, maybe. That's how I'm going to leave it.
As long as you say that,
you're not going to love it, maybe. Maybe. You might.
I don't want to wait. What's he do?
Laiutu Latu.
He's not falling that far. There's no way.
No chance?
No chance.
I agree with that, but he's got him at 28 for the Bills.
So Laiutu Latu, the defensive end from UCLA, said to be the best pass rusher in this draft, but has a neck/fusion injury concern, and medicals will keep him off teams' boards. I don't think he lasts to the Bills. I did yesterday see a draft where Latu made it to 27.
Okay.
And then the Bills, I think, took Brian Thomas Jr. all the way at 28. If Laiatu Latu makes it to 23, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills start talking about moving up for him. He's one of the few players, I think, that's not a receiver that they would get motivated for. So, listen, if they got the best pass rusher in the draft, we would take that and still be talking about how they desperately need help at receiver. So, I've got to be open to the idea that they don't take one. I just think that they've waited so long.
Yep.
You know, we've been through it. 803-0550. But Latu's interesting. He could go eighth.
He was, a week ago, he was the betting favorite to go eighth. Now his over-under is 16.
Okay. I mean, so 28 is a long way for him. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. There's some medicals on Brian Thomas Jr. as well. A.D. Mitchell's off a couple of boards. I've heard that from former scouts. We'll get a break in. More of your calls, 803-0550 on WGR.